I hope life treats you kind. And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. I wish you
live from Hollywood.
That's Tess.
And that's Sasha.
I forgot to look at you. It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. How do we sound? Do we sound good playing with us today? Do you remember, like, why you did that? Like, you just, like, I remember you doing it. I remember the first, I remember it like it was yesterday.
You're like, what the fuck is he doing?
No, it was the best thing you could have done, because we didn't know how to start our show, like, professionally.
Yeah, it was like,
we were like, I'm used to being on the radio where I have like a very limited amount of time. Shout out to Adobe Radio, by the way. Thank you, Adobe Radio, for having us on the radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us on Instagram at Cool Nerd Weed Show. A very limited amount of time of when I need to speak. So opening and closing my breaks, for radio people, that's the term for talking.
Is that what we're doing here? Okay.
Well, yeah. So during my breaks, I would definitely have I'd have a set thing. I'd introduce myself, mm-hmm. I'd give the meats and the potatoes, and I have an out, whatever that is. My Twitter handle, the station ID, whatever the fuck it was. In podcasts, you don't have that sort of restrictions, because it's pretty freeing, and you get to do whatever the fuck you want, kind of. So the world was at our fingertips. It was too much choice. It was too much for me. I was overwhelmed. And then
it's like the menu at the Cheesecake Factory.
It's like a book. I can't take it. So you swooped in with the beatboxing. I don't know. And I was like,
this is
right.
How I
would. That works.
This is how I want to walk into the wrestling ring that is our podcast.
And we have always used the beginning of The Youth Is Getting Restless, the live
version. Yeah.
The Bad Brains. That's always been our intro from the get. So it's a no wonder that you beatboxed it, and the rest is Cool Nerd Weed history. Speaking of Cool Nerd Weed history, we have a pretty historic show today, I would say.
We do. We're going back. We're going deep in stoner culture.
Here's the thing that I worry about is that we've peaked. This is just
already.
I mean, maybe next week when part two of the interview airs, that's when we'll have peaked. Tommy Chong is. I mean, he's the star in the Stoner Sky.
Yeah.
He's the North Star of stoners.
I was listening to Cheech and Chong records long before I even knew what weed
was.
Stoner comedy was.
That's what we were talking about.
Just a little kid.
And it made you laugh.
And it made me fucking laugh.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Elephant.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, as a... I mean, on record, it was late night, at a sleepover, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Somebody's
older
brother had a Cheech and Chong record that they'd put on. They were probably smoking. We were not at that age.
Well, but, you know, you look back and you think, like, I look back and, like, now that I know that my parents were total fucking stoners, like, well into my teenagers, Mom, if you're listening to this, just kidding. It was a joke because she wants to hear the interview. Because what I was going to say is that we talked about this with Tommy. Like, generations of people loved their comedy, but we as kids didn't really know why, because we were kids and we didn't smoke weed. Shockingly enough, TS and I were not smoking weed upon exit
children.
Of the womb. Yeah, it took us a few years to get there. But our parents did and were, and our friends and our parents' friends did and were, and our friends' parents' uncles and their brothers and everybody older than us did smoke weed and were smoking weed at the time. I was just like, I didn't know. So that humor, it was very relevant to them. Like, my dad and my mom both love love that era and that era of comedy because it was like so, like, it was very unapologetic and kind of Canadian in that way, that it was like sketch comedy and it was very unabashed and uncensored and down, like us Yankees were like, we're like, what is this?
Like, what
is this madness? Like, you're talking about weed openly on stage to like people? You're gonna make a whole fucking movie about it? Crazy. But they did, and they made a whole career out of it, and they made many other people's careers out of it. You know,
and they've Cheech and Chong have influenced, generations of comedy for sure. Like, we were finding
who's the Cheech and who's the Chong. Do you want to be the Chong? Because we interviewed Tommy Chong.
I'm always Batman.
Well, I love the goofiness of both of them. But I was thinking like of different comedy duos today, and I was like, okay, if it was Jay and Silent Bob, I would probably be Jay. And I'd probably be Silent Bob, right?
Absolutely. I'll dress as a woman, no problem for comedy. Like, just like, just like Cheech.
Okay, so yes. See, so there you go. So I think I'd like to take Tommy Chong. You'll listen to the interview when we play it. We're gonna play it in about 20 minutes. We talked to him a couple days ago. He was just a fucking delight. And he shares a lot. I had like very many spiritual moments during this conversation. Because he's just like, he's a very spiritual dude. And he's also like a dude.
He's just a dude. We were just chatting.
We're just fucking talking.
And this cannabis elder statesman.
Yeah.
He's an elder, what do they call him? They call him the Pope of Pot, the fucking godfather of ganja. He's an OG before there was fucking OG.
He made OG OG.
Like, fuck.
Come on now.
Come on.
Come on.
So have we peaked? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I might be peaking right now.
Speaking of which, the Puffco peak. I was like, how do I know that word? We're going to use it right now. But we didn't get to. I wanted to ask him, like, what his... Well, so you'll hear the interview. It was so fun. And it was very... We talked about weed. We talked about life. We talked about God. We talked about the law. We talked about... He told stories because he's just so good. He's just so good. Like, he's just good at talking. And it's also amazing to see a performer, like, he's just a showman, and to see that, like, thriving right now is also, like, very encouraging, because it's just a weird time.
He is thriving. He's 82 years old. He's out there. He's still doing.
He's doing his cameos. He's doing his hot wife, apparently. Yeah, you'll hear about his hot wife.
He's got his cameos, his hot wife. He's still smoking.
Yeah.
And he's out. He took the time to talk to the nerds.
Come on. We peaked. I mean, when we interviewed Kevin Smith, I was like, how does it get better in terms of like, not better, in, just in terms of like culturally influential, like Snoop Dogg, I guess. We have Be Real. We have a few pinnacles that we can still have on the show that I think we have room to grow. But I do this, so I say that in jest, but with a little bit of, well, what are we going to do the week after next? We're going to have Tommy Chong on the show.
I'm working on it. We're working.
And we will, you know, there's, like we said, like, if you're the next guest on the show, you are just as great as Tommy Chong. But it was a real honor to talk to him, because it's just not every day that you get to talk to, like, a piece of history, which is, I'm not saying that because he's old. I'm saying that because he literally did shape history in like a bajillion different ways.
So many ways. Influenced cannabis culture in infinite ways.
He did.
Okay, so I sent you this just before. And yeah. I was watching Still Smoking.
Yes.
They were Cheech and Chong. They were in Amsterdam in the 80s, and it was all these sketches kind of blended together with mm-hmm. them in a steam room mm-hmm. with like some 80s boobs.
Yeah, definitely a lot of 80s boobs going on.
They came out as a wrestling duo.
Yeah, Cheech and Chong came out as a wrestling duo. They said a lot of things.
Listen to a lot of things. But the Japanese wrestler was Itchy Scratchy.
Itchy Scratchy! I was like, so we don't even know the influence that, because, I mean, people maybe that who watch both, there's a generation that is old and young enough to have watched that sketch and watched The Simpsons and know that that is a reference. I didn't know that. I didn't know where they got Itchy and Scratchy from. Like, I thought because one was a cat and, well, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. So
was it subliminally?
It was before The Simpsons.
It was before The Simpsons.
Not very long before.
Was it the... Is it subconscious?
Oh, you mean like... See, I was just thinking he, like, heard it and thought it was funny, and he put it... Like, clearly Matt Groening or somebody is, like... I feel like all three of them, the creators, were, like, stoners for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So I feel like they just may have been fans, and it was a homage. A homage.
Homage.
A homage.
I see.
As they say. And he was on The Simpsons. We didn't talk about that, but Darren talks to him, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he did.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe I made that up.
Yeah, with Tommy Chong, Cheech and Chong were on The Simpsons. Like,
they were.
Season 22, around then, yeah. I think 22. Yeah. And
that was like, I was reading like on Wikipedia, I think it said like it was like the first time that Cheech and Chong were together, but that doesn't seem right. Like, he was telling a story, he told us a story that they had done, I think they were like brought together like live before that, but I guess that was like one of the first times, or was it South Park? One of them was like the first times that they had performed together in like since they had been a couple.
Oh yeah. He did.
I don't know if it was South Park or I read this on Wikipedia. It was like the first time they performed or something. But either way, I mean, obviously South Park, they're also in tune with marijuana culture. So if you guys want to come on the show, Matt Tone, Trey Parker, we'll have you.
Let's reach out. Can we get them on
Tommy
the line?
Chong came on. It means that we're not that bad.
Yeah, for sure. Come on. Do we have cred finally?
Come on. What do we have to do? But it really was a pleasure and an honor, and
absolutely loved speaking with Tommy Chong. Like, it was a good time.
Here, you hit this.
Oh, I gotta figure.
I don't know.
Out.
I feel like there's something up. I'm always talking about my Puffco and how much I love it, but I feel I have
there
it on the.
I put it on the low one.
But I had it on the high one, and I feel like I didn't. I don't know.
I don't think it was. I don't think you turned it on. Hold on, let me check.
I did it. Well, that could be a problem. No wonder people like the regular methods. When the Puffco works, it's truly a vicious. See, don't you feel like it's not? Oh wait, maybe
it is. It is. It's that's delicious.
It is so good. That's why I want it. When I get like a really solid hit, it's so good. It's the exotic genetics.
I'll turn it up for you,
please. That's that sound. I love that sound.
There we go. Let's put it on red for you.
Ooh,
all right.
Red.
It's fire in the hole.
So I hit it now.
As soon as it vibrates.
Okay, it's going to vibrate. See, I forget because the G-Pen is the opposite.
Which one was that? That was
the strawberries and cream, the box that I threw.
Strawberries and cream. No, we still have that. That one. That was really delicious.
I got two grams.
Oh, okay. That was like a Skittle, Starburst in my mouth.
It's so good. I cannot stop talking about it.
Exotic genetics. Delicious.
Yeah. Exotic genetics. Very good. With 777, right?
Oh, yeah. Collab. you got it? You're good? It's working now?
I think it's working.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do feel like I am surprised it's not like a deeper hit on that hot. Don't you think like it, or is it because it's we're smoking? What is this, sugars?
That was some like live resin.
Maybe that's why.
Sugar, yeah. Wow.
Sugar.
That is sparkly. That is sparkly. That's beautiful. I didn't want to cook the fuck out of it, so I dropped it down. It's almost at the highest one. It's on red. I put it on red for
I
you.
I know. I'm not complaining.
we'll split the difference.
I know.
Turn it up a little bit. Turn it up.
I have been very receptive to your ways. I've been watching Cobra Kai, so I'm going to call you my sensei. Check it out, peeps. It's not a bad show. Give it a chance. But I have been, and part of my practice is not overheating my concentrates, and I don't overheat my concentrates anymore. So, Tommy Chong, did Chong's Choice come out with a concentrate line?
It was pre-rolls and edibles. That was the only Chong's Choice that I had seen.
But, did I almost rip them?
I think so.
I think I did too.
I think so. There was something
I just
happening
remembered that. You should have seen my face. Did you remember that?
I didn't remember, but just now I do remember. You were gonna do a gig, and it was there like.
And then I was like, and then it just like it was like around the holidays, like, and I had
everything fizzled out.
Everything fizzled out, and literally everything fizzled out. They were canceling events and stuff, just because I just think it was. Demos were not as popping as they used to be, but
the Chong's Choice chocolates were delicious, and
they were very good.
The pre-roll I thought was an infused. I can't remember.
I don't remember. I remember.
I probably took
a
picture of it.
Probably, it was enjoyable. So we are going to take a quick break. I think, yeah, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll be back with Tommy Chong. And, you know, kind of like the biggest moment of our lives. So if you want to be here for that, just, you know, hang tight. I'll be right back. She said, I'm sorry, and I'm not perfect all the time. Take a look in the mirror, I'm not the one who's breaking promise. It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. That's TS.
And that's Sasha.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us on Instagram at Cool Nerd Weed Show. Okay, so I think we have Tommy Chong here.
As long as you can see me.
We can, yeah.
And we're very happy to see you. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm doing great. I couldn't get any better.
You sound good, man.
I just love what's going down.
You watched the whole circus last night.
Well, I love the lockdown, you know.
yeah, well, you finally get to relax.
I know, I'm on vacation. like 5 months vacation. And I got a private chef.
I love
amazing.
It.
Amazing. You're thriving in lockdown.
I know. It's crazy. And I'm making money because I do cameos.
And, oh, you do the cameos. That's awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I do cameos. And so I'm, you know, I got a beautiful home in the Palisades. And, I'm just hobnobbing with my millionaire, billionaire friends. Now, a lot of them are Trumpies, but that's okay because we just make a deal not to talk politics when we're together.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's great. I'm telling you, I've never had a better time in my life.
That actually really, that makes me really happy that you're that, like, because you worked so hard your entire life.
Yeah. And not only that, but I'm married to this gorgeous lady. Mm. But when we were, you know, back to normal, I hardly ever seen her.
What does she do for a living?
Well, no, she's like taking dance classes, taking art classes, taking, you know, she did 3 dance classes a week. Different, you know, tango, ballroom, and ballet, and she only used to cook on Christmas, but now she cooks every day, and we're sequestered together. I got my own part of the house, and she's got hers, and I'm not allowed to do anything, you know, that would change the landscape. She's an artist. and so I'm not allowed to really work.
that's a good deal.
Oh, it's such a good deal. You know, I mean, and I got a little poodle that I hang with. Oh. It's my son's poodle, but my son Paris and Rama, his wife, they just gave birth to a baby. It's like a week old, week and a half old.
Congratulations!
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, thank you,
Grandpa Chong.
So we're just. Oh, it's really, you know, and we're California, so we're it's crazy. I feel guilty.
It's true. It's easy to feel guilty when you're really living it up. But I still have to say, you worked, you literally did time. So you deserve this little vacation that you have. You've been going for a long time, and now is your time to enjoy it. Do you find yourself smoking more weed, or you think you're about the same? I ask everybody this question because I feel like I'm about the same, which is a lot of weed.
What's that again? What's the question?
Do you find yourself consuming more cannabis than before, or?
Oh no. No.
It's the same.
Well, no, actually, you're right. Probably a little more, because when I do cameos, I get requests. You know, hey, give a shout out, but smoke a doob while you're doing it. And, you know, and so I smoke a doob, and I'm getting back in the bong business because the workers or the artists that were making the bongs, you know, they're on restraint now. You know, we can do it.
Sure.
And so I'm wrapping these Chong bongs that are incredible. And of course, when you get a new bong, you got to try it out. You know,
it's so absolutely
got
to
christen.
Yeah. So actually, I'm smoking just a little bit more than I usually do.
Good. Hell yeah. Amazing. Well, I mean, yeah, you know who you are. You are the pinnacle. You are the first. You and Cheech are the mecca of Stoner comedy. We just interviewed Kevin Smith about a month ago, and he told us how he had you in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, then he had you got in Reboot, and he said he was so much prouder of Jay and Silent Bob Reboot to have you there because he felt like that was his true tribute to Cheech, his true like stoner movie. How is it working with people that literally idolize you? You know, that people who see you and are inspired.
It's good. It's a lot of fun. It's really nice. You know, people are, especially, well, the movie business, you know, there's what do you call it? Like a routine that you do, you right. know, and, you stick to the routine, you know, and the stars always get the best treatment, you know, I really enjoy it. The problem I have now as I get older, you know, I'm not really good at memorizing lines. And so I get a little thing, you know, or like in Kevin's case, you know, they just fed me the lines and got different reactions. And then they go in the editing room and then they put it all together. So,
sure.
So, it's just really, like I said, it's right now, I'm at that stage where I could leave any minute, but I don't want to. I'm having too much fun.
That's beautiful.
You're looking good, Tommy, I have to say.
Well, you know, I've been a bodybuilder all my life.
You've been in shape your whole life.
Well, I'm married. Like, I'm married to this weird lady that, you know, she's when she got pregnant, she never bought maternity clothes.
Wow.
She would just let the back of the dress on.
Wow.
And after she had the baby, she didn't have to do anything. Her weight just went back down. Oh. I mean, she's really weird. she's got a perfect body. I mean, that's why, you know, when I start getting a little bit spiritual or religious, you know, and people say, like, they say, how do you know there is a God? And so I always say, have you seen my wife lately?
Not only is that spiritual, that's so romantic.
Well, the truth is, there is a God, and he really likes me.
you're talking about Shelby, right?
Yes.
Okay, she's beautiful. Yeah, she is. I saw you guys play at the Roxy on your last tour, and she was doing like an opening, and she's hilarious. Oh my God.
I'm telling you. I couldn't leave her at home when I started doing comedy on my own, you know, and without Cheech. And I need a partner.
Yeah.
And then she's so too beautiful to leave at home. You know?
For sure.
And so I, one time I had a gig in Guam, and I said, come on, you know, it's Guam. It'll have a little vacation. She goes, no, this before she was working with me. She goes, no, I don't want to just sit in the dressing room, you know. And I said, well, how about if I put you in the show? And she's an actress, so she couldn't turn down the role. And so she said, oh, okay. So she's on stage. And at first, all she did was introduce me, you know. And here he is, Tommy Chong. And then she started doing a little bit of time. And each time out, she'd do a little bit of, stand up. And then pretty soon she got... she had like 20, 30 good minutes, you know. And then we went to Australia, and they just treated her like a real comic, you know. They said, okay, Shelby will go on first, and then we'll have an intermission.
Oh, wow.
Now, before, she would always go on, but she always had me, you know, bring me out, and then, you know, we would do a bit together. But now she had to do her whole act, and she was so happy. Everybody else would crumble, but she was so happy. She got to be on it, and now she's, you know, we're a little rusty now. We've been laid off for too long, and I never really was one of those guys that just did stand up, you know.
Right.
I was a guy. Yeah, I'm a guy. I was just talking to these other interviewers, and I just realized, see, when you do interviews, you learn a lot about yourself.
Sure. It's
sort of like therapy, you know.
Yeah.
And so I realized that I can do a lot of things, but I'm not one of them, you know. I can play guitar. I can play guitar, but I'm not a guitarist. I can direct a movie, but I'm not a movie director. I can act, but I'm not really an actor. I can do comedy, but I'm not really a comedian. It's funny. And I write songs when I had to. You know, I wrote a song was for you know, most people, you know, they write hundreds of songs, sometimes thousands. I wrote one.
Well, and you've been to prison and you're not a prisoner. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. That's a really beautiful way to look at Jack of all trades. It really is.
Yeah, you can do all these things, but you're not tied to that one thing, you know. And then, you know, when I, like around the house, you know, there are certain things I can do, but I'm, you know, terrible at fixing things. You know, the faucet's broken or
right.
The few, like, I had a hard time finding the circuit breaker, you know, finding exactly where the circuit breaker was, let alone find out which is. And then I realized, and I tell people this all the time, is don't be too talented around the world, especially.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. You work very well. You have a partner. You have, like you said, you didn't want to do stand-up comedy, which is an alone thing. You feed off of the energy of other people, so that makes you more talented.
Well, when I started my music career, I was a backup guitar player for a fiddle player. You know, it was just the fact that he needed a guitar player. He could teach me. Mm. And so he taught me how to be a backup guitar player. Well, that was the best lessons I had, because what you do, then you can play with really, really good people and not be that proficient, you know, other than, you know how to keep a rhythm. And he taught me how to keep rhythm. And then he taught me the most important thing was that always give the audience what they want. You know, like if they want you to play a song 10 times, play it, because that's your job, is to entertain. You know, it's not to entertain yourself. It's to entertain the people that are paying you. And so I've always had that attitude. So it worked well with me, because a lot of times, especially musicians, you know, they get fall in love with their own stuff.
For sure.
And they don't want to, you know, compromise or change or anything, or even recognize other people. And right. That was the other lesson I learned, is always play with musicians that are better than you.
And, you always step it up.
It worked.
Yeah, because it makes you work harder. And if you make a mistake, it's kind of also like, okay, well, I made a mistake, and that won't get as noticed because everybody's dancing around me, making me look a little bit better. That's why we have a co-host.
That's right. The same as writing. You know, like when I got out of prison, where was I? Oh, in Aspen. And we did a reunion. It was really funny because Cheech and I hadn't worked. You know, I was in jail for 9 months, and he had been off with Don Johnson. He sort of like changed his whole thing. You know, he was no longer Cheech. Right. You know, he was Richard.
He
shaved his mustache.
So, I've been doing stand-up for like almost, at that time, let's see, I was doing it almost 20 years then. By that time, no, let's see, 80, about 15 years, something like that. But anyway, I when you can do comedy that long, you know, all you need is an audience and a stage and a microphone, you know.
True.
And so when Cheech and I got back together, I said, Cheech, let's do this one bit we called Harry and Margaret.
Right.
And where Cheech doesn't really talk. He just wears a wig, looks like a woman, and, you know, and he just, he just sits there. And Cheech didn't want to do it.
Really?
And it was like, he didn't want to be Cheech. And I said, wow, not even talking. And so then I went out and I did my act. Well, in my act, I kind of rag on Cheech a little bit. And this time he's on stage and he's sort of pacing around the back.
Oh,
he
no.
didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether to leave.
Oh, no.
He didn't know whether to shit or go blind. Or
oh, my God, that's great.
To Mr. Tommy Chong, you've done countless tours, comedy, music. Let's talk about what's it like to be Tommy Chong on tour. You're on the bus. You're backstage. You're doing shows. Are people constantly trying to give you weed? You want to smoke?
Well, you know, not so much, but you know, our audiences are very, 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 very cool, very sweet. You know, the thing is, they you know, especially the Chicanos, you know, I mean, they're the ones that we lifted out of, you know, out of the gang. You know, everybody thought they were gang with a headband. You know, they're going to shoot somebody or something. And then we, with Cheech's character, we freed the Chicanos, you know, and then you got George Lopez, you got everybody after Cheech, you know. Cheech opened the door for him. And so we get this respect that is priceless. You can't buy that, you know. It's not about fame, it's right. about content, you know, what we've managed to do. And we, you know, being around as long as we have, you know, we stretch, what, now we're into the grandpas, you know, like my age. I'm a great grandfather. We got fans that stretch from grandma to the kid in school, you know.
There was at least four generations of fans at the show at the Roxy, for sure.
Yeah, and they're standing up. Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah,
because it's like a punk rock show, you know, everybody's standing. And, you know, it's strange doing comedy when everybody's standing, but you know, they're young and they can they're used to it now, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, I mean, it's just kind of like a big set, like smoke sesh too, you know, because like everybody can just kind of chill out and like, and from like, you know, when I told my dad, obviously was super excited to know that I was talking to you today, because he raised me, you know, on you guys, and he wanted me to tell you he's lost a lot of brain cells listening to you, because you really transformed the generation that you were from. When you guys got together, especially with the weed culture and everything, did you know that you were going to be as transformative to the culture, and as like you are a representation of activism in marijuana culture and weed culture and cannabis culture? Did you guys know, or was it just kind of like stoner comedy is funny and it may, you know, you get the giggles? And
no, we actually, I'll take credit, because it was sort of my mission, you know. Even the way we did the comedy, you know, wasn't the normal way of doing it. What I did, I had, you know, that's what I'm telling you about God really likes me. Because when I was up in Vancouver, I had one of the best R&B bands, you know, in Canada, one of the first and one of the best, just because I got hooked up. The lead singer was an ex jock, you know, he was a football player. It could have been pro. He hurt his knee before he went pro. But he was like beautiful. He was black and beautiful, beautiful body, beautiful, beautiful energy.
Yeah.
And never had the best voice, but he was an entertainer and he was mesmerizing. He could do so many things and he looked so good. You know, that's what these guys do, you know. Mm-hmm. And like Elvis Presley, for instance, he got his act from Bo Diddley. Because when Bo Diddley would be on stage, black man, he would really entertain the audience. He'd get real sexy and wiggle his hips and do all that stuff. And Elvis Presley saw Bo entertain one time and just stole his whole act.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was the kind of band I had, you know, with Tommy Milton is his name. Well, in Vancouver, you know, this is when the clubs were just coming out of the dark ages. You know, we just getting over the, we were burdened with a sort of like a Puritan law. You know, you had to stop drinking at 12 midnight because it was Sunday, on Saturday. And so when we started playing rhythm and blues, no one knew what that music was.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, Elvis had just hit a little bit. Yeah, no, he had hit, and that was it. And mm-hmm. When we started playing, I'll tell you, we started playing our music the same time as the Beatles when they were in, you know, and so we had an R&B band, and what it was very sexy.
Right.
Our band was very sexy, all ex-jocks, but Tommy, the black guy, he showed us the cool, how to be cool.
Sure.
You know, how to be very cool. It was very hip to be very cool. And so we were not only, you know, good sounding band, but we entertained and we got the crowd. Yeah. And so when we were in Vancouver, you know, we had no problems working. And usually when we weren't working, we would form our own gigs. You know, we'd hire a hall, for instance, and throw a dance ourselves.
Sure.
You know, because we had to do that in Calgary and in Vancouver. And so what happened, we got a reputation. And so when this one guy bought a building and there was an empty steakhouse, and he asked me, would you like a club? Would you like your own club? And of course, you know, of course.
Yeah, penciled in.
And so we, you know, we had our own club, but we couldn't afford to advertise or anything. So we had to build it by word of mouth. But eventually it became the most popular club in Vancouver. And when that happened, another club owner whose club wasn't making it, gave me another club.
Oh my God.
And this time we turned it into Vancouver's first topless nightclub.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was like the first titty bar.
Oh,
in Vancouver. And so what I did just before I met Cheech, I turned the strip club into an improvisational theater.
Okay.
using strippers, using that, yep. the girls.
There it is.
Using the girls as human beings, you know, not just as objects,
sure,
but as women, and it was so sexy, and then we had a straight man, but he got his wife found out what he was doing. We changed from a strip club to a full on improvisation, a theater, and so we attracted all the theater people, and that's how Cheech and I got together.
Yeah.
And then because we had changed the crowd, we weren't making any money. And so my brother, who was running the club, he actually fired us. And Cheech was the only one, you know, in the group that really wanted to keep doing it. And so we hooked up and we became the first Chicano, Canadian, Chinese, Canadian comedy group in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had been pioneering in every regard, like even in music in Canada. That's amazing. Like it's topless improv. I mean,
in the 60s, Vancouver, that sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
It was right around the 60s. And in fact, it was, we got discovered by Motown in 1966.
Wow.
And then we went to Detroit, recorded Does Your Mama Know About Me in 67. Yeah. And then I left Motown and came back to Vancouver without the band in 68. And then I met Cheech in 69. And then we came to L.A. in 1970. And then we met Lou Adler in 1971. Mm-hmm. And we haven't looked back since.
Wow.
Amazing. Lou Adler. we lost him a few years ago.
Yeah.
Lou Adler?
Yeah.
No,
he's not. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the other. I'm sorry. Lou is still around. Okay, that's good news.
Yeah, that's good news.
Yeah, don't scare me, man.
You're like, whoa.
we're all on the verge. You
know? We all are, actually. Like, literally all of us
right now. No, you're not. You're ahead of you. No, when you get a certain age, you know,
of course.
You know what happens? It's so funny. they were talking about extending my life insurance.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, my wife said, no.
Oh, no.
I still laugh at that.
That's amazing. Said, that's
no,
great.
No,
you're good. We're good for a while.
We'll save a few bucks.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
We won't do the 10-year thing. We'll do the fun. We'll take it a year at a time.
Can we get a month a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get a better deal. Oh,
that's
man.
Hilarious.
No, but hey, listen, when you get old, like me, I didn't know I was old until I went on Dancing with the Stars. And then they kept reminding me, this is the oldest guy that's ever gone this far. And the more they reminded me, the older I felt.
It seems to me, though, that like, and I, you know, I feel that this is kind of a little bit stoner mentality too. Like you, even though you're feeling your age and everybody talks about your age and even we're saying how long your career is, you like being this age. Yeah. Like, you like knowing being, you know, like wise and having that sort of experience, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is the way you find happiness, and the way that marijuana works for people is it puts you in the moment, whether you want to be in that moment or not. That's why a lot of people freak out, you know, because they don't want to be in that moment.
Can't handle the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like,
I don't know.
You know, I don't want to be this high anymore. Well, when you do the right amount and it puts you in the moment, it's almost, it is really almost impossible to be sad because you're so aware of what you're doing at the time, you know? You get sad is when you reflect, when you look back at what could have been or what should have been or regret. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have regrets. Well, when you're high like me, you can't have any regrets because you can't
remember them.
and then what happens, like if you're like me, a comedian, I entertain myself with my own stupidity.
Oh yeah. It's the best part.
Like if I lose my phone, well, that's where I got religion. This will crack you up. We all have a God app. We're born with a God app.
Sure.
You know, there's a piece of us that, a very strong piece. Now, it's stronger than some than others. And then a lot of people, you know, take advantage of it, you know. But we all have a God app. And so what I've learned to do is when I lose my phone, I just turn to God right away. I say, okay, where is it? And the phone appears. I swear to God, it works.
Better than Find My iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
The God app.
But it works no matter what it is.
I love that so much. Everybody has the God app when they're born. I believe that totally.
Well, you do. You do, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Now, the reason, you know, we don't know about it is we're not supposed to know about it.
Right.
You know, because we're here to have experiences, you see. And whatever the experience is that we're here to have, now, sometimes it'll include knowing about this, like with me. Like, I've always known all my life. You know, I've always had that power. Because when I was a kid, there was no entertainment. And the only entertainment was church. Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Sunday school was the only entertainment. There was no movies. There was no television. There was radio, but it was radio. You got, for a kid, you got Sunday morning from 9 to 10. They would read books from the library, and that was the only kids' entertainment they had. Like there was no Sesame Street. There was none of that. And so the only entertainment you had was Sunday school, and it was the only reason that you dressed up, you put on clean clothes, you know, and so I went to Sunday school and I just dug the hell out of it because I learned all these things and you can, you know, that God is everywhere, you know. So I would come home from Sunday school looking for God, you know.
I love it.
And the thing is, when you look for God, it's in the Bible. You find it.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking home one night from Sunday school, and it was a cold, it was in Calgary, Alberta. It was cold, below zero, but it was clear as it can be. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, where is God? You know, they say God's everywhere. Where is God? And then I looked up in the sky at night, and I saw the Milky Way. And the stars were, it was so clear and so bright that the minute I said, where is God? I looked up into the heavens
You're gonna make me cry, Tommy Chong.
I'm telling you. And I was just a kid, and I didn't realize that that question that I asked, "Where is God?" and it was being shown to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that until just recently. Mm. One time I was on stage, doing some kind of, you know what they do, they honor the comedians when you get a certain age. You know?
Right.
We got to honor, and so it's a cheap way of getting you to work for free. And so I know that. And so when they honored me, I didn't do any comedy. What I did, I did this looking for God rap, sure. You know, and it kind of went off. It went sideways, you know. Some people got, that's what, when you do that, some people get it, other people don't. You know, that's right. Just the way it is. And my wife, Shelby, she was so kind of embarrassed for me because I'm going into uncharted territories, you know.
Right.
You know, there's no joke involved here, you know. And so she was trying to motion for me to cut. Okay, that's enough. Yeah. But after I did that, I had one guy especially came up, and I had moved him because he was at the stage of his life when he needed that. You know, he needed that reminder.
Yeah.
And it was worth it just to have the one guy come up 100%. And say, yeah, you really touched me with that, you know, with that whatever it was in the rap, you know.
Yeah, that's truly beautiful. And I think all of us have, especially in weed and like cannabis culture, we have that, at the very least, that spiritual aspect of us, like you said. We don't have a choice but to live right here.
Well, you can't help but have it when you get high. Because that's when they say, you know, it affects your memory. Well, what it does, it eliminates memory.
Right.
Know? Because you're so in the moment. You're so now.
Yes.
You're so now.
There's no more room in your brain.
We're a computer. We really are a computer.
Yep.
In fact,
electricity and all.
When we sleep, that's like turning off your computer, like mm-hmm. rebooting. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you sleep. You, in fact, on the computer, it says sleep.
Yeah.
You can put your computer to sleep.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I realized all of that, you know, and every once in a while, like now, you know, mm-hmm. I'll because that's the thoughts I get when I do smoke up, you know.
Sure.
And during this pandemic, it was funny because, you know, because of my age and that, I was a little worried. And then, so I'd start feeling weird, you know.
Yeah.
And kind of like, well, I'm feeling, I wonder, am I getting that pandemic? Am I getting that virus? And then then I'd remind myself, oh, you smoked up. No.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing that's actually probably gonna save us all, you know, is weed. And I don't even mean that metaphysically, like literally. I think science is gonna show us that this is truly the Lord's plan, and it really is gonna like cure the worst of things.
Who would have actually thought that we would be in lockdown, staying home, sheltering in place, and then we would be able to have cannabis delivered legally to our homes?
Isn't that something?
How about that?
And to be deemed essential.
Essential. It's an essential service.
Can you believe that? That blew my mind.
Yeah, that's huge.
Then I thought about it. Well, you know, I was in Colorado when it was legal. Like sure. First time Dave was legal. All, you know, they elected Trump and made weed illegal in Colorado the same time. And so I used to joke that God, there is a God.
Yeah.
He gave us Trump, but he also gave us weed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
so we could survive, you know. And that's what it was. And, I, you know, when they opened, they had a lineup at the dispensary to open up. And I tell people, it looked like a lineup waiting to be healed by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in their crutches, or on crutches in wheelchairs. You know,
it's like revival,
pains. Yeah, they're all crippled. They all need their medicine. Mm-hmm. They all need, you know, and there's some people with mental problems that need it. you know, people with all sorts of MS, it helps with MS. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, legally, we're not allowed to say that the CBD will help us.
No, we are not. Listen to the next part of that interview next week. What a friggin' pleasure. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back to gush about how awesome that was. We'll be right back.
I hate how much you love acting crazy. Tell everyone we're dating that break up with me daily. I hate how much you love acting crazy. I hate how much you love acting crazy. You'll be out all night, then you sleep all day. Getting way too high, but I'm fucking with it.
And that's Sasha.
And we are the Cool Nerd Weed Show. Thank you, Tommy Chong. Part two of that interview will be airing next week. There's a part two.
He goes deeper.
Oh, we talked for an hour.
Deeper.
TS and I and Tommy Chong.
Yes. Just, you know, just on a Zoom call with Tommy
just
Chong.
Just on a Zoom call with the nerds. Tommy Chong and the nerds. And he was just a treat, and he truly, it was an honor. And thank you, Adobe, and everybody at Adobe for being so supportive too of us and backing us with our crazy visions and our ideas and our everything. Follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us on Instagram at Cool Nerd Weed Show. We're gonna have a live show next week, and then we'll play the rest of the Tommy Chong interview, and then we'll have it all compacted together for easily listening pleasure. But you're gonna have to wait, just like in the old days.
You can't binge on it. You're gonna make you wait.
You can't binge. It's going to be episodic platformed listening.
And then after that, we'll box it up for you with a little bow on it.
Unless you're in the future, like we always
if
talk
you're
about
in the future, then just click on all the links
better?
Provided.
Does it get better?
Yeah. So, let us know.
You know what? Know. Not for nothing. We've had a pretty good couple of weeks.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Talking to Tommy was an absolute pleasure and an honor. Also is doing this show with you, having a cannabis show, being who we are, being the nerds, and fighting for your right. So please, before we leave, I want to just say, everybody get out and vote. If you aren't registered, fucking why the fuck not? Go and do that this very instant. Adobe.com/vote.
Yeah.
Just fucking vote. We've had enough. This is stupid. If you didn't need enough proof from last week's sideshow, then just look at what's happening. Somebody posted a quick meme today that I'll close with is, if you sold your house to somebody who was going to make it great again, and he lit your house on fire, he let everybody get sick. He made sure mail wasn't going to be delivered to your house anymore, so you didn't get your mail. And there was one more thing that's happened before. I think it was just that you just felt generally unsafe. Would you would you let that man keep your house? No.
No.
You would take your house back. Take your fucking house back. This is our house. We fought for this. So you can go vote and take your house back. So
don't panic.
It's organic.